said, a very good morning to Associate Professor Susie Wiles, our science correspondent. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm very excited about the Tuatara.
that was amazing.
I know, I got lucky.
They live so long.
I know, to the early hundreds. I got really lucky one day at Zealandia. My niece was visiting and we went on an early evening trek and spotted a Tuatara on the way in. And then on the way out, I had a kiwi literally at the back of my foot. And I couldn't spin my head around to see it. And she wouldn't let me move, but she got a picky of it. Big, fat kiwi. They're amazing, these eco-sanctuaries. They're really inspiring. Now, tell me about the testing for the COVID-19 tests that is happening.
Actually,
please. Testing of them.
I was going to say, can we start with the lemurs? Because it would be nice to have, not to leave them out in case we run out of time. And it's just so cool and a little bit non-COVID related. And then we'll get to the tests.
Lemurs
important.
It is.
Is that all right?
Yes.
So this is just a really cool paper that's just been published about pheromones. And I guess I always thought that, you know, pheromones were a big thing, but apparently this is the first known use of them in primates. So that sort of surprised me. And yeah, it's a paper about ring-tailed lemurs. And so actually, hopefully we'll get the video up online, but there's this really cool video of the lemurs. And what they do is they've got these really well-developed scent glands on their shoulders and their wrists. And so during the breeding season, the males they've got these really long fluffy tails, and they take their fluffy tails and they rub them against the wrists, and then they wave their tails at the females. And the researchers have a great word for this. They call it stink flirting. And so what some researchers in Japan are doing, who've been following these lemurs, they took basically some of these secretions from their wrist glands during the breeding and the non-breeding seasons. And I loved how they describe them. So they say that the smell of the secretions collected during the breeding season were fruity, floral, and sweet. And then the ones during the non-breeding season were bitter, leathery, and green, whatever that means. Anyway, so what they did then was they presented these secretions to females to see which ones they preferred. And they preferred the ones that had been collected during the breeding season. So that kind of makes sense. So they then analyzed them chemically to see what compounds were there. And they identified three aldehyde compounds, dodecanal, 12-methyltridecanal, and tetradecanal. And they were present in both the samples, but they were in much higher concentrations during the breeding season. And then what they showed was when they took each of those compounds separately and showed them to the females, they weren't interested. But when you combined them all together, they were interested, and those are the things that they think are what's, you know, the males are using to signal, like, hey, come and see me. So I got excited about the story because it was about lemurs, who are cute, and it was about pheromones, which are interesting. But then when I read about what the compounds were, I got even more excited because for me, there's a link to bioluminescence again. Which is the thing that you know, makes
your long lost love.
Yeah. So what the chemical reaction that makes light in bacteria uses an aldehyde. So the aldehyde is the thing that gets acted on by this enzyme, and it gets turned into a fatty acid, and then it produces light. And so when I was a PhD student many years ago, and we had some of these genes, we didn't have the genes that made all the light. So we used to have to add an aldehyde to it. And so I used to spend a lot of time in the lab with things like dodecanal, which are the grossest, like they are the sickly sweet, but quite disgusting smells. And some people react really badly to them. So one of the people in the lab that I worked with who didn't work on bioluminescence, but she would basically faint if I opened these chemicals in the lab. So I was kind of relegated to a different room so that she wouldn't faint all the time. But it made me remember all my time spent in the lab sniffing this horrible, sweet, smelly dodecanal and trying to make my bacteria glow in the dark.
There's a wonderful video of lemur stink flirting on the webpage, rnz.co.nz/9 to noon. They have extremely impressive tails, don't they?
They're amazing, and they kind of, they sort of come back over their body, and they just sort of, and then they wave them around. Interestingly, although completely unrelatedly, my cat does that with her tail too, but I don't believe she's stink flirting. Although, maybe she is. That would be
total tail envy. If I come back as something, I want to have a tail. Okay, where do you want to head now, Susie?
Let's go to the test, because this is really, really important. So this is a COVID-19 related story. The important thing to know about testing for COVID-19 is there are two ways of testing. So here in New Zealand, we're doing what is called the molecular test, which is basically looking for the genetic material of the virus. And this is the gold standard. It was the first thing that was developed, and it's very, very, very good. It's very sensitive, works really well. Around the world, though, other ways of testing are kind of coming online, and most of these are what's called immunoassays. And so they're basically looking for, you take blood from a person, and they're looking for evidence from that person's body that they have basically encountered the virus. So they're looking for antibodies, which our body produced in response to infection. So I was kind of blown away when I found out that there were over 500 tests that are basically fall into one of these two categories that are either in development or commercially available around the world. And what I've been hearing is and reading is stories about these blood tests that actually some of them are so bad, you know, like the UK was apparently going to try and roll them out, and they bought millions of them, and they've just very quietly said, no, we're not going to do them now, because actually they're really bad. So there's a foundation in Switzerland called the Foundation for Innovative New Diagnostics. And what they are doing is offering to test any of these tests independently to see whether they actually work. So rather than relying on the tests that the manufacturers say they've done, they are going to be independently testing them kind of for free on a first come, first serve kind of basis. And they've not only that, because they know it's going to take a long time to get through these 500 odd tests, they've also started and they're putting all their information out like for everybody to see. They're also starting this dashboard where they're inviting anybody else who has independently looked at the tests to put their information up. And what they're saying is that, you know, because what happened in the UK was they bought all these tests and they said, well, we'll have to make sure they work well and then we'll use them. And then they didn't work well. So that's just sort of disappeared. And obviously not every country or every hospital or every place could do that independent testing, and it would be a waste of resources. So they're saying, let's gather all that information together and put it up online for then other countries or hospitals or whoever needs to decide which test are you going to invest your money in, you can invest your money in the best one. And at the moment, there are not that many tests up there. So this organization in Switzerland have looked at five of these DNA, the genetic tests, and they all look pretty good. They're all picking up all the positives that, you know, they need to pick up. But they've put up a little bit of information on these blood tests. And it's like, I think there's about 20 up there now, and only two of them look like they're even approaching being as sensitive or as good as they need to be. The rest are all pretty, pretty bad. Mm. And I guess that explains why countries are buying them and then abandoning them. And it's really important, right? Because, you know, not only is it a waste of money, but actually in the case of those blood tests, what they're trying to use them for is to say, hey, if you've had this infection, you could come back to work, or, you know, you'd be protected from infection. But actually, if the tests are so unreliable, then you can't say that at all. So it's really great to see this initiative taking off, because it's clear that there's a whole bunch of people who've kind of jumped on this, let's make some money out of COVID-19. And, you know, that could end in people dying. So, yeah, really good initiative.
It really is learning as we go with this one, isn't it? I don't know if we have time left to quickly touch on the Icelandic study. There's about a minute. We can do it next time if that's better.
Let's do it next time, because there's some important stuff there. But yeah, it's a really interesting study that basically plays with our ability to manipulate numbers and things in our head. So it's important to talk about at some point.
There's plenty of that going on at the moment as well. I mean, just back to what we were saying then, just to wrap, Susie, it really is people are learning as they go with how this virus behaves. And, you know, there's not just a set of information that's suddenly going to be known. It's just a moving feast.
Yeah, and the more cases there are, the more we learn. But also, because countries are doing different things, some of the things that you learn in one country don't apply to other countries. So one of the big things around that is how many people have the virus. And because New Zealand have acted really fast, there'll be very little. But that's a very different picture to what's happening, say, in the US or the UK.
So appreciated as always. Thank you, Associate Professor Susie Wiles of the Bioluminescence Lab at the University of Auckland and also a leading COVID science communicator.